Sanitizing, keeping your distance, except you're in your family bubble. So remember that, please, as we meet together and as we exit from the building as well. At the end of the service, we do have Dale and Natasha's daughter's dedication. Do remember that, please. There's Easter eggs for the boys and girls at the end of the service this morning, for boys and girls only. Please remember that. But you get those as you leave, boys and girls, today. And then at 6 p.m., the doors will be open for our communion service. Meet around the Lord's table at 6:15 tonight for those who know and love the Saviour. And bring your receptacles and, of course, your own bread, your receptacles with the wine. If you haven't got one of these receptacles, please make sure you get one if you're intending coming to the service. Get one before you leave today, this morning. And then at 6:45, the doors will be open again for the evening service for others who are joining us. The evening service at 7. And I will be the preacher. Sister Natasha will be ministering in song. Trust you'll be able to join again with us this evening. And then Vision Magazine is available. There's a little book with mental health with that as well. And so pick up your Vision Magazines. They're there next to the notice board, next to the toilets there. Please do get that magazine. The LTBS magazines are available as well. As you leave services today. Building fund is today. All loose collections and building fund envelopes go to the building fund. There are baskets at the exits as you leave the various exits. Also separate baskets for the Missionary Council offerings. If you've brought these today, put them into that separate basket marked for the missionary offerings. Do remember Easter Monday online for Martyrs, the Kids Club for boys and girls at 6:30, and then the convention service online, sermon audio, Facebook Live, featuring the 70th anniversary of the Free Presbyterian Church and the centenary of Northern Ireland. Reverend John Armstrong, the moderator, will be the preacher. I trust you'll be able to join with that service. There's no midweek Bible study and prayer meeting this week, but from the following week we're back to Tuesdays again, back to our normal night in the midweek prayer meeting in the church hall. So please remember that from Tuesday the 13th we're back. This Friday night is our youth fellowship by Zoom. Preacher Reverend Andrew Murray, he will be joining us by Zoom, and all young people are welcome to join in with that. The link sent out beforehand. Elders, presbytery meeting by Zoom at 8 p.m. on Friday. Next Lord's Day, morning worship, Mr. Stephen Nelson, who's a final year student in our college, who's an assistant in our Portadown Church, will be the preacher. And doors open from 11 a.m. Prayer meeting in youth room upstairs next Sunday night, resuming again 6:20 to 6:45. And doors open approximately 6:15. Gospel service, and I will be the preacher myself. I'll be off then for 2 weeks after that, and Reverend Samuel Murray will be looking after all essentials. Pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time, especially do remember our sister Mary going through the treatments. She's through a couple of weeks already, so do continue to pray for her. Remember also at this time our sister Dorothy Garrett in hospital. Do remember Dorothy. She appreciates your prayers, as do the family at this time of illness. Pray that the Lord's healing touch will be upon Dorothy in these days, and others too that need our prayers in these times of illness, going through various treatments and needs. I'd like to say on behalf of Olivia, I pretty much appreciate all the cards and all the messages that were sent to her during her recent bereavement, the loss of her brother. Do continue to remember Olivia and her sister-in-law and the family. Also, our brother Martin Lewis has asked me to mention that he appreciates all the various cards and messages of sympathy that were sent to him on the sudden death of his father some weeks ago. And the family, again, appreciate your prayers at this time. I think those are all the announcements that we have to make this morning. We're going to commence with the opening hymn, which will be on the screen. And if you will know this hymn, I'm sure, pretty well. Anyway, thine be the glory, risen conquering Son, endless is the victory thou our death hast won. And then at the end of this hymn, we'll keep our seats for the hymn, singing moderately. And it was hard to sing this hymn moderately, but do your best. 120 in our hymn book on the screen, thine be the glory. And then after this hymn is sung, we will stand for prayer and then we'll be seated. And then James will come immediately with the children's address. Thank you. Eternal, gracious, loving, blessed Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence this morning, rejoicing that Jesus Christ is risen. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain and lives forever with the saints to reign. Hallelujah. Christ arose. We rejoice this morning that Jesus Christ is the living Savior, seated at the right hand of the Father, coming again one day soon in power and great glory. Father, we thank thee today for such a wonderful salvation purchased on the cross, that Christ, who died, was raised again for our justification. And we thank thee this morning for this full and free salvation that is ours through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. And Father, we pray for thy presence in our service this morning. As we think about the resurrected Christ, we pray that thou wilt focus our minds upon him. And amidst all the challenges of these days, that, Lord, we might look to Christ. We pray for any who are not saved. We pray that even today they may trust in him and look to him and know and experience his salvation. Bless thy word shortly to the boys and girls. And to all of us today, we pray that thou wilt speak to every heart, that thou wilt do a work in every life for the praise and for the glory, for the honor of thy name. We pray, Father, for those who are sick today. Lord, we pray for ministry of healing to all such this morning. We pray that thou wilt remember especially our sister Dorothy. O God, we pray for thy healing touch. Remember her and touch her and heal her. Restore her to the fullness of health and strength again. Bless her family. Be gracious to them. Remember others, too, that need our prayers. Lord, draw near at this time to all such. We pray for Mary going through the treatments. Pray for our brother Carl in hospital. Thou wilt remember him. And others, too, going through various treatments, procedures, waiting on appointments, etc. We pray that thou wilt help all such. Those who feel yet they cannot come physically into your house, we pray that thou wilt meet with them this morning, that thou wilt bless them. And, O Lord, that they may, as they link in with us today, that they may be blessed in their own hearts. And in days to come, that all of the people will be able to come out and gather with us. Thank you for the vaccination process and what has taken place already. We thank thee for the health service and all they're doing, doctors and nurses. We thank thee for all of this work. It's ongoing. We pray that thou will continue to bless all involved. We pray for our government that thou will guide them aright. It was told us to pray for them that they may be guided in a right way. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt intervene. And Lord, that thou wilt come to our land and our nation and this world of ours with a great revival. Bless our missionary work. Remember our missionaries at home and abroad. Bless them. Remember, O God, the convention. We thank you for the meeting online last night. We pray that you'll bless your word that went out there, the many that linked into that service. Remember on Monday again for the kids at 6:30 and then the meeting at 7:30 on Easter Monday. Bless again online as this goes out. We pray that it'll be used for thy glory. That again Northern Ireland will become the very cradle of revival as it has been in the past. We thank you for 100 years of this land, in Northern Ireland, the state of Northern Ireland. We thank thee for it. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt lead us on to greater things in days to come and mightier things in years before us. Bless us now with thy presence. Bless James as he comes now with thy word. And help us later in the service. Bless Natasha and her husband and the family too today. And, O God, we pray that thy hand will be upon them all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone, boys and girls. It's good to see you all, even though some of you are hiding behind masks. But It's good to see everyone here. It's been a strange 12 months, hasn't it? This time last year, well, we never thought or knew what lay ahead in the days and weeks to come. You know, in that time, we've heard many things said and many instructions given to us during the time of pandemic. And I want to consider some of the things that we were told, because when I look into the Easter story recorded in the Bible with regard to the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, strange some of the things that we were told to do. We find things about them in the story. Now, I'm sure we can all remember way, way, way back, if your memory's good, we were told something. And it was this. Anybody remember? What was it? Wash your hands. And in fact, it wasn't just washing your hands in a short way, but you had to wash them and sing Happy Birthday twice. That's how long you had to wash your hands for. I hope, boys and girls, that you wash your hands when you eat something and you keep your hands clean when you're doing that. Maybe you're saying, what does washing your hands have to do with the Easter story? Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ, boys and girls, was taken captive in the Garden of Gethsemane, the rulers brought him before the governor so that he would judge him and give his verdict on this man. And you know, Pilate's verdict was this, that he found no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had questioned him. He had put various things to him. And his result and his verdict was this. He found no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he wanted to please the people. And so he asked them this question. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, while that was a question put out to the people, it was a question that Pilate himself had to answer. And the cry came back from the crowd, let him be crucified. Away with him. We don't want this man to rule over us. And so they cried out, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he couldn't prevail against the crowd, the Bible says that he took water and he washed his hands in front of the people. And this is what he said. I am innocent of the blood of this just man. You know, I wonder if Pilate knew that the Lord Jesus was a just man, why did he release Barabbas, a thief and a murderer? You see, he thought by washing his hands, he was no longer guilty. He was absolved of all responsibility of what happened afterwards. Boys and girls, Sunday school, bigger people in the meeting today. Maybe many times you have been asked that same question. What shall you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? We sing a hymn, what shall I do with Jesus? Oh, what will your answer be? Someday, your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? Don't avoid answering the question by washing your hands, thinking that all will be okay in the end. And then, boys and girls, we were told afterwards about social distancing. Stay 2 meters away. Keep your distance from each other. And we were told, and we watched it on the news and the reports given, and if a person sneezed, how far those droplets went and how far they could be carried in the air. So stay back. Don't go too close to other people if you don't want to catch the virus. You know, when I look again, boys and girls, into the Easter story of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, I find that when they took the Lord Jesus, they laid hands on him. We read this concerning his disciples. They all forsook him and fled. You see, they were afraid for their own lives, and so they put great distance between themselves and the Savior. And in fact, when we read Matthew's account, we read this, that it says of Peter, that Peter followed him afar off. He put a distance. Oh yes, he was still following, but at a distance. He wanted to see the end. He wanted to see what was going to happen at the end of it all. Is there somebody in the meeting this morning? Just like Peter. At a distance from the Savior. Perhaps a boy or girl in the Sunday school or in a children's meeting. You ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And now you've left primary school and you're in secondary school or maybe in work. And things have got harder to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know you're not following close just as you ought to be. Or maybe mum or dad or some bigger person in the meeting this morning. What about you? Listen to what the Bible tells us. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And this morning, as you come to church and you sit all respectable, nicely dressed and reverent in the house of God this morning, you're still in your sin. You're separated from God. You're afar off from Him. Listen to the words of the hymn that we sing. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in at Calvary's cross. It's where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Third thing we were told, wear a mask. And we're all doing that, aren't we? When we go into the shops, when we go out and about, we're told to do it. Why? Well, it has been said that wearing one can prevent the wearer from transmitting COVID-19 virus to others, and it provides protection for the person themselves. And we've heard all the views and all the opinions whether to wear a mask or not. And everybody maybe has their own opinion on that. But there's one thing I'm sure of. Do you know, when we wear a mask, you're hiding behind it. That's why in the old days, when robbers went into banks and other things, they hid their faces so they wouldn't be recognized. Part of your face and your mouth is hid. And you're maybe sitting thinking this morning, who in the Bible wore a mask? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Think about this. Peter again. Yes, he followed afar off. And he went into Pilate's judgment hall. And he sat among the crowd. And on three occasions, people came to him and questioned him about his association with the Lord Jesus. He said, I don't know him. I don't know what you're saying. And he said with an oath, I know not the man. And you know, after the third time, the cock crew. Peter remembered what the Lord had said. And you know, while Peter wasn't physically wearing a mask, but like you and I are today, yet he answered those questions put to him. He hid behind a mask of denying and disowning the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that like so many of us today? We can deny him instead of standing up for him. When we're asked about him, we make an excuse or even a lie. And because of embarrassment of what others might say or do or make fun of us in school or work. We deny the Lord Jesus Christ and we hide behind a mask. And we disown the Lord. The Bible tells us, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. The last thing we've been told more recently, get the jab. You know that one. Or get the vaccine. You know, over the weeks and months, companies have been working away in the background to come up with a vaccine or a cure to save the lives on the coronavirus pandemic. They wanted something that would give protection against the disease and reduce the risk in people of developing the illness. And they're saying to us, this is the quickest vaccine that has ever been produced. Inside a year. Other vaccines have taken many years. In fact, the mumps vaccine in 1967 took 4 years to develop. Now we have three available. And the message is clear. Get the vaccine. Get the vaccine. And there's some of the older people in the meeting. I was going to say Mr. Smiley there, but I forgot I'm older than him. Some of the older folk in the congregation, mate, they've already been to the doctor and they've got the needle in their arm. But sadly, many people caught the virus and died before the vaccine was found. But boys and girls, just in closing today, since the day we were born, there's been a pandemic in this world. It entered into time back in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God, sin entered in to the world. I remember as a boy in Sunday school learning the Shorter Catechism. Some children learning it today. And the answer in question 19 gives this. All mankind, by their fall, lost communion with God, are under his wrath and curse, and so made liable to all the sins of this world, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. What a sad end to die in your sin. But I have good news to you, for you today, boys and girls. There's a vaccine. There's a cure that's available for sin. It hasn't been recently produced by men. But in eternity past, before time began, the great plan of salvation was put in place, fully accomplished and finished when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. Look away today with the eye of faith to the finished work upon the cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The thief on the cross believed. The centurion soldier looked and believed. Will you today, boys and girls, mums and dads and older people, not look to Christ and live? May you not depend upon the prick of a needle in your arm, but I pray that the Spirit of God will prick your conscience to feel your need of Christ and draw you to him for salvation. May God bless these few thoughts to all of our hearts. Thank you.
Returning to another hymn, and we'll keep seated during this hymn again. I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. Great hymn, the resurrection again, and we'll keep our seats and sing this moderately together. Thank you. to the Word of God this morning for our Bible reading in Mark chapter 15 and then into chapter 16. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. And then into chapter 16. Let us hear the Word of God. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honourable counsellor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marvelled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. He saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. Ending our reading at chapter 16, verse 11, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us stand for prayer, please. Let us come before the Lord and seek the Lord's face as we come to his word today. Let us all unite together in prayer, please. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I want to turn your attention to the portion of Scripture we have read from this morning. And the subject today is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The Word of God teaches us in the Book of Proverbs, chapter 25 and verse 25. As cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Good news, that is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is good news from a far country. It is the good news from heaven that God has done something to meet humanity's desperate need. God has taken steps to deal with our sin problem, to make it possible for us to be forgiven. And Mark began his gospel by associating the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with this good news. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." If someone were to ask you what the gospel is about, I wonder what you would say this morning. Well, the gospel is defined for us in the first verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 3 to 4 I refer you to particularly. I declare unto you, said Paul, the gospel. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. There are three essential elements of the good news which Mark sets before us in these verses today. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are three things that I want you to notice here this morning. First of all, I want you to see the concern for the body of Christ in verse 43 of chapter 15. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Here we have this man, Joseph of Arimathea, and showed his concern here for the body of Christ. He's described here as an honorable counselor, which means he was an influential member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. Luke wrote in his gospel in Luke 23, verses 50 to 51, that Joseph was a good and just man, and one who was a member of the Sanhedrin, who had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. In other words, he had not consented to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the putting of Christ to the shame of the cross. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man, and now he was going to use his riches to express his devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us here in this verse 43 of chapter 15 of Mark that he waited for the kingdom of God. As one of the Jewish remnant who really believed what God had to say, he was looking anxiously for the coming of the Messiah. This man, you see, had come to believe that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah, that he was the Christ, that he was everything that he had claimed to be. If you look at John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 38, it says that Joseph was a disciple, but secretly for fear of the Jews. This is why we have not seen him before in the pages of Scripture. Joseph was one of those people who had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was not vocal about his fear. It was not the kind of thing that he talked about. Isn't it amazing how reticent some people are to proclaim their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a sense here of cowardice as far as this man was concerned. At this point, an earlier stage of coming out openly on the Lord's side. We look around us today and we see people who are not ashamed about their allegiance to many things. People proclaim very publicly their membership of all kinds of organizations. They're proud of their schools and their teams and their societies and their political allegiances. And everywhere you turn in society today in this world, people are proud to promote what they stand for. There seems to be a hesitancy on the part of some to admit their love for the Lord Jesus Christ and to identify openly with the Lord Jesus Christ. But something happened in the life of Joseph of Arimathea that changed all of that. It was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It did something in the heart of Joseph of Arimathea. Now he came out boldly with courage. And initially there was cowardice, but now we see there was courage. And he asked Pilate if he could have the body of Jesus in the light of Calvary's cross. I do not believe that any secret discipleship today is justified. You don't believe that anyone can intelligently discern the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and never go public with his or her faith. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 33, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before the Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." And you know this boldness, this courage that was here seen in Joseph of Arimathea encouraged someone else. For John in his gospel said that Nicodemus, who came and brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus in John 19:39, he also developed this courage. You see, my friend, fear is contagious. Discouragement is contagious. Pessimism is contagious. But courage is also contagious. And witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ is contagious too. You see, this man had not only courage, but he had commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was willing to confess the Lord Jesus Christ in an open fashion, as also was Nicodemus. My friend, we live in a day when God's people need to take their stand. We need to be willing to say, "I'm on the Lord's side. No matter what the world says, I don't care who knows about it. I don't care who tries to intimidate me. I'm taking my stand on the Lord's side." That's what Joseph did, and that's what Nicodemus did too. This man, Joseph, as it were, came out of the closet. In showing concern for the body of Jesus, he showed this great courage and this great commitment. And then this confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do that today? Will you identify this morning with the Lord Jesus Christ? And unashamedly take your stand on the Lord's side. And unapologetically identify with the Savior. I trust you will do that today. But then the second thing here is the concern in the burial of Christ. Look at verse 46 of chapter 15 of Mark. "He bought fine linen and took him down." That is, Jesus took him down from the cross and wrapped him in the linen, laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone onto the door of the sepulchre. You know, normally the Romans left a body to die and to rot on the cross. They would just leave it there for the scavenger dogs or the vulture birds to eat. But the Jews had scruples about leaving a body on the cross. In fact, according to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, a dead body was not allowed to remain overnight. Dead bodies had to be buried. And because of the religious rules of the Jews, it was necessary that the body of Jesus be taken down from the cross. Isn't that interesting? Here these men were. They condemned Christ. And yet they were worried about keeping their law. The Bible predicted that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's precious Son, would make his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. That was predicted way back in Isaiah 53 and verse 9. And God had already prepared Joseph and Nicodemus, and they came and they requested the body of the Lord Jesus Christ for burial. You see the preparation here that was made for the burial of the body of Christ in verse 46. And in the Word of God, linen is something that is very significant. It has a symbolic significance. This is, of course, a picture of righteousness. It's a reminder that God requires righteousness of us if we are to get to heaven. It's a reminder, too, that of ourselves we have no righteousness.
or even that we piece together our own righteousnesses. They are not acceptable to God. There is an unclean thing. And that leaves us all in bad shape this morning. You and I, in our own sinfulness, even though we may have the rags of our own righteousness, we have no hope whatsoever of getting to heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ was God's righteousness epitomized. Because Jesus never sinned, He has bought a perfect righteousness for us. And when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, clothed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. The Bible speaks about the garment of His salvation. Let me ask you today, are you clothed with the garments of Christ's righteousness? When I go there to heaven, I not go there because of my own goodness. I will not have to stand there in my sinfulness. I will go there clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the imputed righteousness of the Savior. We must not think that these two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, just suddenly decided to bury Jesus because such preparation was demanded. To begin with, Joseph had to prepare the tomb in a garden near the place where Jesus died. And then men also had to obtain a large quantity of spices. John 19:39. And this could not be done when the shops were closed for Passover. So it all had to be done previously. There was preparation involved. And all of this had to be done without the council's knowledge. It seems evident that God prepared these two men, directed them in their activities. Nicodemus, you'll remember, had come to Jesus privately. Chapter 3 of John. But then he had defended the Lord Jesus Christ. And the accusers came against him in John 7, verses 45 to 53. And now he identifies openly with Christ at his death. And I believe that Joseph and Nicodemus searched the scriptures together, discovered, led by the Spirit, that the Lamb would die at the Passover. It was important that his body be prepared for burial, so that the empty grave clothes could be left behind in the tomb, according to John 20, verses 1 to 10. And all the way, it was in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, we've said, he made his grave with the wicked. The fact that he was buried was proof that Jesus actually died on the cross. For the Roman officials would not have released the body without proof that Jesus was dead. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. And they rolled the stone unto the door of the sepulchre, the Bible tells us here in verse 46. And the burial of Jesus Christ means that our sins have been forgiven. God put our sins away in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer penned those words, "Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away." You see, my friends, today God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He's put our sins behind His back. He's removed them as a thick cloud. He's cast our sins in the depths of the sea. The care taken in the burial of Christ has many lessons to teach us this morning. But then I want you to see finally the coming to the burial place of Christ. And we see that in the first verses of chapter 16 of Mark. Mark tells us of three women who were very close to Christ, who had communion with Christ, who had conversations with Christ, who came to the tomb early, bringing spices to anoint his body, and we see their arrival to the sepulchre. They were wondering who would move the stone away from the door of the sepulchre. They had no inkling whatever that already had occurred. My friend, our Christian faith today rests solely and solidly on the fact that Jesus Christ did not stay in that tomb. And these women came. They found that the stone was rolled away and Jesus Christ was risen. So their arrival. We see also their amazement. As we look at the gospel accounts of the coming to the tomb, we read, it was still dark when they started out for the tomb. We read also they arrived early, at early dawn. You see, their first surprise, they found the stone was rolled away. So they were able to enter the tomb. The second surprise was meeting two angels in the tomb. Mark focused particularly upon one, but there were two there, according to the full record in the Gospels. And the third surprise was hearing the message they delivered, those angels delivered, that Christ was risen. No wonder those ladies were amazed at the message they heard, what they seen, what they discovered. You see, the announcement, that message was of the resurrection. Christ had risen from the dead, verse 6, chapter 16. He was going before them into Galilee where he would meet them in verse 7. The message of the risen Christ. And what a message that is this morning. As Corinthians tells us, that he rose again according to the Scriptures. And such a message today lies at the very heart of the gospel. That Christ rose again according to the Scriptures. Who was delivered? That's Christ. Was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. That is the message we rejoice in today. And that is the message we continually proclaim. The cross is empty. The tomb is vacated. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. And up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain. And he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And my friend, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He died. He rose again. He ascended. He ever liveth. And praise God, he's coming again. What a message. There is no religion in this world that has a message like that. A message of a risen Christ. Do you know this risen Christ today? Is he your Savior? As we've been singing, does he reign within your heart? If not, I pray that today Jesus Christ will come and be your Savior and be your Lord. There you leave this service. You may come to know our Savior, that he may become your Savior too. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, apply thy word to every heart, we pray, and grant that the blessing of God would be upon us in a rich and in a full and in a blessed manner. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Now the hymn that Dale and Natasha have chosen for the dedication will be on the screen.
remain seated as we sing this hymn, and then we proceed to have the dedication. Let us hear the word of God this morning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And then further on in Scripture we read in Matthew 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. And then in Mark chapter 10 we read these words. And they brought young children to him, that is to Jesus, that he should touch them. His disciples rebuked those that brought them. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.
Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. He took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. The words of Paul in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And finally, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do you, as parents of this child, acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? And do you promise to bring this, your child, up in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord, that early in her life she may be brought under Christian influence and saving grace? Paige Hope Atchison, I dedicate you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you, and give you peace, both now and evermore. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee today for this little girl in her presence, Paige Hope Atchison. And we pray for thy blessing upon her. And we pray that thou wilt bless her with health and strength, with soundness of mind. And, O God, that thou wilt bless her with those essentials of life that she needs. And we pray that thou wilt especially surround her with thy love and with thy grace. And we pray that alongside her older sister, she may come at an early age to know and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord. We pray for Dale and Natasha that thou wilt help them with this added now parental responsibility, that thou wilt give them grace and help in all of their dealings with their children as parents and in their lives before them, and help them to be an example to their children, and help them to instruct or catechize their children in the things of God, and grant that early in life both of them may come to know the Savior. We commend especially Paige to thee today, as she is brought up by her parents, even as Samuel was brought up to the house of God and dedicated to the Lord, so she is dedicated to thee today. And we commend this family to thee. Surround them with thy love. Protect their family. We ask of thee from every intrusion of Satan. And we pray that thou wilt use parents and children for thy glory. Bless the wider circle too. Grandparents and all who are gathered for that circle today, meet their every need and bless them, we pray of thee. May the blessing of God be upon all our families. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and evermore. Amen. You may be seated. May God bless you. God bless you.
We welcome you all to the house of the Lord. It's good to be back in God's house to see all your faces again, and especially on this Easter day when we remember that Christ is risen. He is risen from the dead. We rejoice in his rising.